We had, and then I preached it, and then the next week was Easter, so I had an Easter message, and then the following week we had David Mitch preach. Wasn't that awesome last week when David preached? We really appreciate David and Lisa being here and that amazing message last week, and so we had a 2-week break, so I don't really have time to go back and cover that again. So today's title is called the Tower of Babel, or Babel. I think it's called Babel, the Tower of Babel. But it's a 3-part series. You guys remember in Genesis chapter 11 that's the Tower of Babel? But so we have the 3-part series I want to talk about. The Tower of Babel. Number 2, next week I want to talk about Babylon. And you're like, wow, what's this going to be about? And then number 3, it's going to be called the Finality of Babylon. And see, as I talk today, as I'm going to reach this, you'll see, is there still a spirit of Babylon upon this earth, by the way? Through this whole, matter of fact, there's a spirit of Babylon coming against this country. We know, as other words, it's called woke, being progressive, being a leftist, whatever you want to call it. You can give different words, but see, it's a new time, but it's the same old demons. It's a new time, but it's the same old demons. Nothing has changed there. Matter of fact, we know that there's nothing new that's happened on the earth, right? By the way, did you know since the Supreme Court decision on abortion, I read there's been 32,260 fewer abortions? I don't know how that, amen? And here's the wonderful thing. This is what I love about God and grace and His mercy, that when people have gone through that, man, there's mercy in God to wash and cleanse every sin away. I make sure that I say that because as we are joyful about what God is doing, we want to know that there's always forgiveness. He washes sins away to as if we've never sinned before. Man, that's what the gospel is about. It's about restoring, healing, delivering. It's about taking the brokenhearted, amen, and mending their heart, making them brand new in Him. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. So we know Genesis 8 was, we have a flood, the flood in the deliverance of Noah and his family. Perseverance of the seed of man, right? Perseverance. And in the coming week, we're really going to, I'll mention just a little bit about the seed, about seed today, but it's about the seed of man, preserving the seed of man. God's mercy and grace. It said Noah found what? Grace, didn't he? He found grace and mercy. Genesis 9, we have God's promise of the rainbow. You know the rainbow? He would never flood the earth again. So we know what the rainbow means, amen? God, it's a sign of God's mercy upon mankind, to be honest. Genesis 10 says, we have the genealogy of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their seed. And then in Genesis 11, we have the Tower of Babel. And then when in Genesis 12, it starts with, after the Tower of Babel, it starts with the beginning of the genealogy and the account and history of the Jewish people through the seed of Abraham, which then comes down to all of you and I, amen, being joint heirs with Christ. The preserving of seed. But in between Genesis 10 and 12, we have this Tower of Babel. And we have this individual. You guys ever heard that word Nimrod? So make sure you don't call your children or your grandchildren Nimrod, okay? Really don't. I mean it. Don't call anybody Nimrod, especially a family member. You know, Nimrod in the Hebrew means rebellion, valiant, but it means rebellion, rebellion. And so let me start reading at Genesis 10, 8 and 11, talk about Nimrod a little bit. It says, now Cush fathered Nimrod. So he was like, the great or great-great-grandson of Abraham. I mean, not of Abraham, of Noah, excuse me. And Cush fathered Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Kelna, in the land of Shinar. And from that land he went into Assyria and built Nineveh, You've heard of Nineveh in the Bible? Rehoboth, and Calah. So the first empire in the earth's history was built by Nimrod. The very first kingdom, you know, was built by Nimrod. So he doesn't give us a lot of information about Nimrod right there. Hang on with me. So please, if I can get your attention, I'm headed somewhere. You know how I am. I gotta get there. I gotta navigate. But hang with me. But let me just say this with this Nimrod, that you know there's been an antichrist spirit has existed from the beginning. Believe me, Satan, when he heard this in Genesis, we're going to Genesis 3:14-15, which you know it says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, amen, this was Satan, amen. So basically he was talking to Satan. He said, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And then it goes right here, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So we can see this battle is between seed. Talking really, many people think this is the first prophecy about the coming of Jesus Christ. This enmity between Satan and I have to say it, between the unbeliever. So stick with me. If I say some things today, this is what I ask. If I say some things today that might offend you, would you at least say this in your heart, saying, Lord, I want to walk in the truth. I don't want to be a person that walks in offense. I don't want to be a person that's deceived with this generation. There's a deception, and it goes right along Babel that we're going to talk about today, that we have over this earth, and we have big time over a portion of people in this nation. But say this, saying, Lord, I don't want to be deceived or fooled. You think about all those years, get off a little bit, as Noah. Just think, Noah's building this boat. This big boat. And the people are mocking him, I'm sure. It's going to rain? You're telling me there's going to be judgment? You're telling me this is what's going to happen? You knew it then when all the animals and Noah and his sons and their wives went into the ark, and it says that God closed the door. Can you imagine as the earth, water started rushing up and it's raining, if there was even time, people pounding on that thing. See, they didn't believe that judgment would ever come. You know, there's a day of grace where everything is going to end, and then judgment again is going to fall. Did you know that? And thank God it's not going to be upon the people of God. Amen. If Jesus is your personal Savior, believe me, someday it ends. But you can tell, as we get closer to the end, this is what's going to also prevail, and that's a spirit of deception. What do you mean the world's going to end? What did Peter say? It says in Peter, you've been saying this forever, but things keep going on just the way they are. I can continue to live any life I want to. I'm fine. But someday this age of grace will end. There'll be a final day. What did Jesus say? It'll be like the days of Noah, marriage and giving in marriage. Life will go on. But there's a coming a day where this age will be over. And you'll stand before God, and the only defense you're going to have you given your life to Jesus Christ? So as you hear the society mocking God, it's not new. It's not new. 1 Peter 1:23-25 says this. So it's about this seed. This is about this seed. So for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable. See, you when you're born, it takes seed to have a baby, right? we're not gonna have a science class here. You guys know what I mean. But that's perishable. That dies. Matter of fact, because of Adam, there's no future in that. There's no eternal life in that. For you have been born again, not a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. Amen. We do have a baby room, by the way, there that you can hear, just in case. Amen. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But listen, the word of the Lord endures for how long? Forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So the battle, I'm going to say this, the battle has always been about seed. Did you know that? The battle has always been about seed. So let me read a little bit about Tower of Babel with you. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, I'm going to read. So now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is to the heavens. So how high? I mean, obviously it's not to the heavens. It's not in space. But whereas we know that they're building this tower, when it says to the heavens, it's because there's a reason. There's a purpose why this is built to the heavens, it says. Come and let us make us brick. Verse 4, and it says, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. So what the Lord says, so come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased to build the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel or Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the whole for the face of the earth. They say that when this was built, this you ever heard of the Book of Jubilees? This was something that Jewish people, a couple thousand years ago, it's not in the canon, but they would read things in here, and they thought this has some historical good historical facts in there, so to speak. But anyway, in this book, it says, in the Book of Jubilees, it says the height of this tower, and I don't know if this is true, was roughly 1.6 miles tall. I don't know how tall it was. But we know one thing, that God went down and said, hey, look at what's going on. It got God noticed what they had engineered, what they had put together as one people and accomplished building this tower. See, they were making brick. First thing, you know, the worldly wisdom, brick and mortar. You know, they said, look, making brick. We're making brick, asphalt, and mortar to put this together. You know, it was 1 to 200 years previously is when the flood happened, they say. 1 to 200 years previously. That's not much time, huh? That's not much time to go from God saves mankind to once again saying, hey, let's work together. Let's make a name for ourselves. Hey, this time, we're not going to use gopher wood. We're not going to use tar. We've moved on. We've advanced beyond that. We know how to make bricks now. And we know how to make asphalt. And we know how to make a tower that reaches up to the sky. And maybe if another flood comes, look at this building we've built. Maybe this time, mankind can be preserved. This time we can make a name for ourselves, build this to the heavens, amen? Maybe our own wisdom this time, I mean, we're talking about thoroughly cooked bricks now. We're talking about something more permanent. Maybe next time a flood comes, we'll be okay. Tower of Babel was built around 4200 BC, by the way. We're going to build a city tower so high that no flood will ever take out mankind again. We are going to reach to the heavens. You know, it's all about the wisdom. The thing that we'll talk about is the wisdom of man and what the trouble that it gets itself in. The wisdom of man. You know, that started way back in the garden too. Let me just read this, just a reminder about the wisdom or perceived wisdom of God. Genesis 3, 3 through 5 says, but the fruit of the tree, Genesis 3, 3 through 5, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. Isn't that the enemy? Your life can be going well. You can have everything together. Everything look well. And the enemy says, hey, look, everything's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You can be in a struggle. But something about man's fallen nature says, hey, you can work yourself out of this trouble. You can do it. You can do it in your own strength or wisdom, not even realizing it's the same spirit. Babel, when they were together as one people, saying, hey, man, we can take care of ourselves against anything that would come against us. Only up to 200 years after Noah, mankind already trying to figure a way how they can do it themselves. Amen. Verse 5, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband and with her, and he ate. You know, brick upon brick, saints, is how the world works. The world looks at what they can see, what they have accomplished in the natural to determine their legacy. That's a true statement, don't you agree? Amen. Man's wisdom, man's mind, it's truly amazing. Isn't it amazing what man can engineer, what he can accomplish? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but let me tell you, you can make brick upon brick, you can accomplish anything in a society and still be void 100% of the Spirit of God. It's still that same Spirit that says, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build a tower. Let's have artificial intelligence that can help us have a tower to the heavens. That nothing that a Christian says, nothing that we hear from the Bible, nothing that, you know, that would oppose us will be able to stand because we built a tower. I'm telling you, saints, that people and societies are still building Babel towers today. We call it science accomplishments. You know, telescopes looking into space is amazing now. I mean, they can look just like, it seems like a gazillion miles away now, don't they? It's amazing. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but that's just part of it. Look at what we can accomplish. The automotive, remember the automotive? How about aviation? Isn't that amazing? How about the medical and science of what they've accomplished in today's world? And then how about AI, artificial intelligence? I was watching this interview. This is amazing where artificial intelligence is today. Maybe some of you've read stories but this particular, I guess you're going to call it a computer. So what it had accomplished is it had read everything on the internet. Every study of science, every study of societies. It had read everything. And then what it done is somehow populate its memory bank to come up with answers. And it's amazing that this thing would come up with answers that would sound like it was reasoning. So they were talking to the head guy of Google. Is that called Alphabet? I can't remember. And they're saying, hey, and the guy that was doing the interview saying, how is it that this thing seems like it's reasoning? You'd answer it questions and it sounds almost human-like. And the guy's answer is, he says, well, it's like the human brain. Who can understand that? We can't understand the human brain. How are we going to understand this artificial intelligence? So it would do things that one of the questions was, is what's the Christian faith? And boy, it gave a great answer. People put their trust in Jesus. He was the final sacrifice. He appeased sin in their soul. Are you kidding me? This thing gave answers as to it was like a real person. It gave answers to what you and I would say, that's right. That sounds good. Artificial intelligence today in this world and what we're heading into in society in this world is like the ultimate building of Babel. We'll have the answers for cancer. We'll have the answers for everything that ails mankind. And we can finally get rid of this guilty conscience. We'll finally get rid of every voice that would come against us in what were progressiveness. See, that's what they were doing. They were all of one mind and one accord. And when God went down, he says, man, nothing they do will be impossible. You know, it seems like that we'll talk about it a little bit more, that everything as mankind and technology moves forward, we start thinking, man, what's next? What's next? All these things are not bad in themselves, but the pursuit without Christ is. Then they said to one another, in verse 3 of chapter 11, come, let us make bricks and make them thoroughly. They had brick for stone. They had asphalt for mortar, we talked about. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. But let me just mention that. I want to stop right here. But the world has its bricks. It has its towers, right? But let me just mention in the middle of this about God's bricks real quick. Can I mention? See, it seems antiquated. Seems like almost foolish. And it's foolish in the mind of the unbeliever. But this is the brick of what God is building. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5, if you have that. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 says, coming to him as to a living stone, coming to who? Jesus Christ. Rejected indeed by men, as many people rejected Jesus Christ. It said, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. Oh, precious is his son. Amen. Is he precious to you this morning? Is the name of Jesus precious to you? Is Jesus precious to you? It says, by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones. There's your bricks. Living stones. As living stones. You hear that, saints? Are being built up as a spiritual house. The name of our God is that right? A strong tower. The righteous run to, and they are safe. I know I'm not singing it right. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into. Amen. As you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, as a church here, this building doesn't really mean anything. But there is a spiritual house here, and it's made brick by brick, stone by stone. Each part of that stone house, the house of God, making and being a part of it, having been changed completely by the power of God, giving spiritual sacrifices. When I'm worshiping him, I know he's here in the midst. I don't see him, but I know he's stirring on the inside of me. I know that he's walking in this room. I know he's touching hearts. He's trying to touch hearts. He's trying to move in people's lives, and it's all made out of a spiritual stone or spiritual bricks, brick upon brick, line upon line, precept upon precept. God is building his house. You can't see it necessarily, whether we were meeting in a tent or in a field or a house or church. The body of Christ is living stones or living bricks together. So they can go, the world can make all its Babel towers that it wants, but you and I are living stones. See, those bricks someday are going to be gone. The firmaments of this earth will be burned away with fire. It says in Revelations, it says there'll be a new heaven and earth, and then there'll be a new Jerusalem coming down there, and that's the permanent bricks. And that's the permanent God-built Babel right there, hallelujah. That will dwell and live forever. You and I living in the new Jerusalem, hallelujah. Everything else, nothing wrong with a church or you having a house, those things that you have. Being good stewards of what God gave you, but just knowing this, that it's all going to burn up. Someday, it'll just be a memory. The spiritual bricks, they live forever. The Church of Jesus Christ will dwell and live forever. Doesn't matter what a spirit of Babel, what I'm going to say because I'll get into it next week, a spirit of Babylon does. God has got your and my back. Living stones. Living the seed of the Word of God. So we're God's bricks. Amen? Amen. That's pretty good stuff. Thank you, Lord. So the first thing with Tower of Babel, this is this worldly wisdom. The next thing is pride. The pride of mankind. So they said, come and let us build ourselves a city. And a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. We accomplished this. We did this. Our own intelligence, our own ability, our own strength. Is that making sense, saints? Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Saying, man, we got to stand tight. You know, it's interesting. The enemy, right? And what they believe, they want to stand tight together, right? You notice that? Man, the church has to be the one that stands together in truth. Living bricks. They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Amen? They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. So mankind accomplished amazing things without God, without Jesus. The push we see, one world government, is about Antichrist, is exactly like Babel. You hear this, can't we just work together, world and Christians? Feed the poor, clothe the down and out, provide shelter for the less fortunate. Nothing wrong with that. Can't you see what United Way and the March of Dimes is doing? Has accomplished. Man's pride says to the Christian, can't you just join us in the name of world peace to make these bricks to show man's love for mankind? That's what you see the push for. Come make bricks with us. Come on, come join us. Nothing wrong with the March of Dimes. I say nothing wrong with the United Way. That's a different subject. We could go there, but nothing wrong with those things. Come make bricks with us. You know, there's still that, you know, there's this, still the spirit of the world that says that. That's the spirit of the world that tries to bring Babel back. You know, the example, remember that song in the 80s, We Are the World, with an amazing list of famous artists? We are the world. You know that one. So among that, there were 45 stars who sang on We Are the World. Did you realize that? I'm sure you did. Huge in the 80s, figures like Cyndi Lauper and Huey Lewis, country stars like Kenny Rogers, Waylon Jennings, and Willie Nelson, so Waylon, Willie, and the boys. Pop icons like Smokey Robinson, some of you old enough remember him, Tina Turner and Paul Simon, musical giants like Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Michael Jackson, and Bob Dylan. It sounds wonderful. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? Until you get a little clue when you listen to the words of the song. When you listen to the words. So let me just say these things. So this is the lines to the song. Just to remind you guys, because I know you know it. There comes a time when we heed a certain call. Now mind you, musical is very spiritual. Music can have a spirit and it has a message behind it. There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. That's a true statement, isn't it? Oh, and it's time to lend a hand to life. Lending a hand's okay, right? The greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day to day that someone somewhere soon make a change. We're all a part of God's great big family. That's not true. This is the first part that don't allow, I hope it doesn't offend you, but I have to stand for the truth. There is no family of God but those that have given their life to Jesus Christ. If there was another way to be a part of a family, then Jesus would not have given his life, and God would have said, oh, by the way, there's 4, 5, 6 different ways that you could become part of the family of God. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So either he is the Son of God, or he is a false prophet and a liar, and we should even quit reading the Bible. But he is the Son of God. He is still changing lives. He's still setting people free. Amen? God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need. But there's a line in this song that gives the true spirit of this song away. Oh, and let me continue. Oh, send them your heart so they know that someone cares and their lives will be stronger and free as God has shown us by turning stones to bread. And so we all must lend a helping hand. But wait a second, did Jesus turn stones into bread? I'm a little confused. Oh, let's go to the Bible. There we go. Let's go to the Bible. Matthew 4. Verse 1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Remember when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness? Amen. To be tempted by the enemy. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. So Jesus was quite hungry and famished. Would you agree? And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said to him, this is Jesus, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. See, God could have mentioned, I could have mentioned the United Nations, European Union, billionaires claiming to have the answers for what ails mankind. But right here, see, God did not turn stones into bread. And so what he's saying here, and what that song is not right is we live by the Word of God. The Word of God is our truth. The Word of God is what directs us and leads us. The Word of God is our compass upon this earth. Amen? It's the truth that sets us free. It's what delivers us, sanctifies us, and brings freedom is the Word of God as it's applied through the blood of Jesus. Amen? That is the only way. So when you can say that, hey, he turned bread and stones into bread, what he's saying is, hey, do your best. Just do what you think is best. Just pursue whatever you think in your soul, what in your mind thinks is best, and it'll be okay. But what Jesus was saying here, man, I can't just live off of my own appetites. My appetites are not going to lead me. It's the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God that's going to lead me. It's the truth of the Word of God that's going to direct me. It's the truth of the Word of God that's going to give me a good life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. See, without the gospel, it's all the Tower of Babel. Matthew 26, 6 through 11, I want to read this now. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial, a very expensive perfume, and she poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, why this waste? What I'm saying this is before is, of course we want to help those that are needy. Of course those that need a helping hand, we want to help them. But man, if it's not with the gospel, it doesn't mean anything. If we feed people but they don't have the gospel, where do they spend eternity? See, that's the problem with the thing is with United Way, you can give those things in the March of Dime, but it does not feed the need of the soul, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the verse 8, but the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, why this waste? For this perfume could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you bothering the woman? For she has done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. And the purpose thing, when we're doing things, when we're helping people, man, the church has got to be in the name of the gospel. See, if we want to do things just to appease our conscience giving, see, that's just the flesh. It doesn't do, long term, I'm not saying we can't, I've helped many people. And at the heart of the compassion. But what I'm saying is a church helping those and what we're going to be doing in the future, it has to be tied to the gospel. or it's no different than the world. It's no different than the spirit of the world. It's no different than the spirit of Babel. Amen. You still there? A good deed can just be a good deed and have absolutely no value to it. 1 Corinthians 13, let me give you scripture, says, if I give all my possessions to the poor, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And what is love? God is love. And the only way you can really walk in love is through having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, giving your life to Him. He's saying, man, you can do all of those things, but if it's not through the compassion and love and the living stones, wanting to make people living stones, it will do nothing for the eternal. Amen. Matthew 10:42, first that, a couple more scriptures. But when you do things with the right heart, it says, I love this scripture, and whoever gives one of these little ones just a cup of cold water to drink in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. There is a reward when we're walking in the compassion of Jesus Christ. Let me say this again. I love to meet the needs of people. I love helping people in need. I love having a compassionate heart. But I'm not doing it to try to fill some empty void in my heart. I'm not trying to do it to get rid of some guilt or something that would drive me. And if I can just outweigh the balances, if I can give enough, it'll outweigh the balance. If I stand before God, if this, I can say, look what I've done. No different than the spirit of Babel. No different than the spirit of the world, saints. Amen. I'm telling you, this is good preaching. So you might be saying, he said, what is all this about, Pastor Chad? What are you trying to say? You know, Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. Christ Jesus is our peace. Let me go on, because here's the key, Lord, help me to get through this. Here's where I want to go. Babel in the Hebrew means confusion. It means Babylon. It means mixture, a mixture of God and man, a mixture. So when Jesus, or when God said in verse 7, come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Let me tell you, that when a people turns, this is a point, when a people turns against God or makes God out to be something he is not or he's misrepresented, when a society makes education the God, when a society is making bricks, when money becomes the focus, a spirit of confusion and in blindness is the results of that. I said a spirit of blindness and confusion is the results of that. You know, how do you know? You're saying, what do you mean? Well, come on now. Look at where we live, or parts of society now have confusion on what's a male and a female. That is a spirit of confusion. And when you say, we will serve God the way we think, or we're going to trust him the way we think, or we're going to make our own God, it will always end up in confusion. There'll never be peace. There'll never be strength. There'll never be joy. There'll never be any of real God's wisdom. It always leads to confusion. That's exactly why where we're at. How do we get to a place where we have a confusion with a man or a woman or a men's restroom or a women's restroom? It is a spirit of confusion that is released when people, a certain segment of society, says, we're going to make our own tower. We're going to make our own bricks. We're going to decide what's God and what's not God. We're going to decide what happens with our future. And if you get in the way, we'll run right over you. When you have that spirit, a spirit of Babylon and Babel, what happens is there's a release of a spirit of confusion, because God will not bless that. God will say, I'll stop you right in your tracks. I'll stop you building an ungodly city in the natural, it's spiritual, with confusion, with a form of insanity. See, it allows every evil spirit, every evil idea, and every evil intention to come against that society which focuses on Jesus Christ. You know, I want to mention this. Give me a few more minutes because this was powerful. What the Lord allowed me, I realize now, to experience. I saw this commercial. So this new advertisement campaign launched by Amazon landed on American TV in March. I looked online because I saw this, and I'm going to tell you why. On March 23rd, intending to share inspiring messages through symbolic situations that people can easily relate to. The first installment of the new campaign, I don't know if any of you have seen this, from this new commercial from Amazon. The first installment of the new campaign got immediately famous as the Girl with a Mustache commercial. Girl with a Mustache commercial, an Amazon Prime ad directed by the renowned director Olivia Wilde. And I have no idea who she is, or I think it's a she. Sending an important sending an important message of inclusivity and self-acceptance. There is also a catchy song in the background that we need to deepen, it says. Let's understand the ad's meaning. This is what they're saying. Let's understand the ad's meaning in all the details right here. It says, in the 2023 Amazon Prime commercial, we watch a young woman face the unwanted mustache she saw on her face for the first time. She's initially worried about it and starts thinking about some way to remove it, but then she has an insight. That's what it says. All the icons she loves have mustaches. And that's what it says. And so it says all the icons she loves have mustaches, and Amazon Prime is there to remind her. Eddie Murphy and Freddie Mercury show up, almost waving to her. They're like, one's like a little doll, one's like on the TV, almost waving at her, proud of their hair. And that's how the girl embraces her look, buying on Amazon, of course, a rock jacket, and transforming her style appropriately. You know, I see this commercial, and the beat and the sound of the music. And then I see this a few times, and I'm out in my garage, and I'm telling you this as I stand here. There's like this spirit that tries to attach to me. Because I have the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, why could this spirit not attach to me? I'm speaking truth right here, saints. I'm speaking this because of this day of Babylon, what we're seeing in society. And if we don't know what the truth is or not willing to stand up with the truth, we'll be deceived and sucked in by this and wondering why there's no joy or peace in our lives. And then people like that end up turning on God when God was not the source of any of your struggles in the first place. He's not. Oh, how he loves you and I. Why could this spirit not attach to me? Because I have the Holy Spirit? Well, yes. Because I rebuked the enemy? Oh, yeah. Because I prayed in the Holy Spirit. You bet I was praying in the Spirit. The main reason, though, this spirit could not attach to me is because I know and understand the truth. The Word of God. I know the difference between right or wrong, right and wrong. And I had absolutely no conflict with my soul. See, because I know the truth there. So when I felt that thing coming against me in my flesh, I said, no, that's a lying spirit. And you will not have any influence on me in Jesus' name because I know the truth. So I could feel it coming against my mind and my flesh, but my spirit man says, oh, well, no, we know the truth. We know the truth. And I thought people who don't, either this, or don't know Jesus, who don't think there's really anything, what they don't have an absolutes on right or wrong, then are deceived. When they see things like this and a demonic entity is tied to it, the spirit of Babel, the spirit of this world, the spirit of Babylon comes against them to entice them to say this is true. And then what it does is it's a mixture of God, truth, and a lie. And when there's a mixture of a truth and a lie, James says that individual becomes unsteady in all of their ways. They go to and fro. This is right. But no, this is right. And it says they don't receive anything from the Lord because they cannot operate in truth and faith because their legs on both sides. Worldliness. Babylon meaning God and man mixed. So it took me several days that I prayed and sought the Lord saying, get off of me. What is this thing? And then as I began to prepare for, you know, as I was preparing for this, I'm saying, Lord, this fits in exactly what our society is dealing with. And when I saw that commercial and this a spirit coming against me, so what happens in this commercial, she got this mustache growing, and then she buys this rocks, you know, this, well, rock, I don't know, it's some kind of clothing. And then she's dancing in a classroom, like a high school classroom, and all the kids are looking at her. And she's the focal point. And you can see they're all looking at her as what she basically is doing is taunting, standing up and saying, what I'm doing here is right. What it really is, it's a thumbing of the nose at God. What it's saying with this demonic foe is saying, follow me. Follow me. I have the truth. Follow me. Don't worry about what the Word of God says. Don't worry about what other people say. Follow me. Saints, I reject the lie of this today's society that says you got to build bricks this way. No, I'm going to live according to the Word of God, declare the truth of God, and ask the Lord, Lord, bring people. If you declare the truth, it's the truth that sets you free. You know, it's interesting. Let me say this as I can. Are you still out there? So was it standing in the truth, knowing the truth, that thing had no power? Its lie had no influence on me, and finally it's gone. It's like, you're not going to have an influence on me in any way, shape, or form. I am standing boldly and confidently with the truth of the Word of God. See, there is a Babylonian spirit. It's a spirit of confusion over the world, specifically over this country, I believe, right now. You know, if you go into New York Harbor, did you know there's a big community there? And they got a big sign in New York Harbor and it says Babylon. Isn't that interesting? And if you look at the history of that, it was named after the ancient Babylon. And I don't know why they did that or the reason, but it's interesting. If you go into New York Harbor, you'll see that big sign called Babylon. See, we're going to talk about there was an ancient Babel, which means Babylon in confusion. Thank God, walking with Jesus, his love, it sets us free from all confusion. Do you agree with that? My prayer is that if you are offended by this, that you ask God, the Holy Spirit, to revere truth. That you would say, Lord, I want to walk in truth. I want to walk in the truth of God. See, the body of Christ has to reject the bricks the world is trying to make right now. The spirit of inclusion is Babel. So how do we fight it? Well, you have to be born again, right? The seed of God in you, right? We said that the seed of God is being born again. Amen. Right now, you're an individual. You're going to die someday, aren't we? But when you're born again and you have that incorruptible seed, you live forever with him. Hallelujah. Well, not, we know that, hey, when you die, that there's two places. There's heaven and hell. But when you come into the grace of God, the truth of God, the ability of God, you pet what the Word of God says, you go from death unto life. You have to be born again. Number two, you have to pursue truth through the Word of God. That is our truth. You give your life to God, you say, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, then, and as you dig into his word, that he reveals truth to you. It's powerful. Saints, the word of God is powerful. It's life-changing. It's your compass. It's your direction. Okay, number two. Number three, you have to reject the spirit of inclusiveness. We love people. We feed the poor. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul, saints? That is not the answer for your righteousness. help, first off, we want to help the people in need, but first and foremost, righteousness comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? He is my righteousness. He is my holiness. He is my ability in this world. Amen? We are seeing the leftist movement in this nation now say you are either making bricks with us or you are against the progress of mankind. Have you seen that? So you have to reject that. Continue making spiritual bricks. Continue declaring the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God. Continue operating in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, right now for you and I, the kingdom of God is within us. Amen? The kingdom of God within us, brothers and sisters in Christ. We already read what Peter says, that we're these holy stones, living stones built up together, forming the house of God. Hallelujah. And it's time to be real with God. It's time to say, Lord, I'm all in. I belong to you. I do not want to be deceived or walk in confusion anymore. If there's areas in your life where there's confusion, I can guarantee you there's an area where the enemy has brought in a bit of a lie. A bit of a lie. But his Holy Spirit and his truth is the one that, I see clearly. Thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me. And here's the good thing. God loves us as people so much. He's always wanting us to walk in the truth. He's always wanting to reveal his goodness. He's always wanting us to know the difference between right and wrong. See, when I came into the grace of God, I knew the law really good, so no one had to tell me about that. So when I came into his grace and mercy and he loved me for who I was, I already had a foundation of what was right and wrong. But I'm finding now there's a younger generation, they don't know what's right or wrong because of the spirit of Babel. The spirit, you know, I experienced it, like I said, out of that TV commercial. Like, what the heck? I hadn't experienced that like that before. But I know the Lord allowed me to experience that for where I am standing right here today. Amen. This is the thing. Be bold this morning, saints. Can you stand up with me if the musicians come as Gina plays in the background? We have to say this. Jesus, I don't want any confusion in my life. I don't want to play games with any confusion. I don't want the spirit of this day and age having any control over my life in any way, shape, or form. I want to be walking in the light as he is in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen. In the blood of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. If you're willing, can you lift your hand with me and say, Lord, I want all truth. Set me free from every lie of the enemy, from every lying spirit, from every demonic foe. Fill me with truth of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your blood that has washed all my sins away. And let's just take your own minute. Just take your own minute and say, Jesus, I love you. Just let him know how much you love him. Lord, thank you for giving us compassion for people that are blinded, that are absolutely blinded by this spirit. This is a spiritual battle, saints. There's always demonic things trying to get ideas into your head, into your soul. They're trying to plant a seed so it can start choking out the Word of God. But when you reject it with the truth, when you reject it with the truth, it can't take root. And so if you have things, here's the thing, if you have things that have taken root already, what you do is you repent and say, God, I don't want those things. I want to walk in truth. Pull those roots out of my soul, out of my heart, and plant them with the truth and love of God. So we thank you for the love of God this morning, Lord. Thank you for the spirit of truth. Thank you, Lord, that when we repent, when we ask you to forgive us, you forgive us. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you that you love us so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we would come to understand your love. Lord, I pray that those that may be operating in anger, if you've got an anger issue, I'm praying that the Lord would touch that area of your heart. It's probably a wound of some sort, that God would touch that area, heal it, and fill it with the love of God. Fill it with the love of God. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, that, Lord, those that operate, that may be having an anger that's always just right under the surface. This is what I've learned. Say, Lord Jesus, I don't want that. Set me free from that. I belong to you. And fill me, Lord, with that love. Lord, I want to replace that with kindness towards my husband or wife. Kindness with my family. Kindness with those I work with. Your goodness with those that Lord, that are walking in Babylon, that need to see your love. Lord, I pray that we could just, with the love of God that rules our lives, the power of God that rules our lives, that we could begin to give them the seed of the Word of God, that it would take root and choke out the lie of this generation. Father, we thank you. We declare it. We speak it. Lord, we want that. Lord, we walk in it. It belongs to us. We thank you for open visions of heaven of who you are. We thank you for dreams and visions by the power of God. We thank you for the anointing in our lives. We thank you for the power we walk in. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. I thank that the Word of God guards us the front of us, that, Lord, you're protecting behind us. Amen. He's in our rear guard. We thank you. There's a voice, Father, by the Holy Spirit says, walk in this path. Lord, he leads us to the left or to the right, but he is directing us, and it's all predicated on truth. So, Lord, we thank you for that this morning. Father, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you come up after the service? I want to pray with you. Or if you've walked away from the Lord, would you please come up to the front? We would love to pray with you this morning. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. Father, we say these things and we agree together as a body. Living stones together. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you for the word of God this morning. Amen.